in a real way today. And may we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you will make yourself known to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The title of our mission, our message for this afternoon is Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. Do you know that God created us out of love? Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you? He loves you with an everlasting love. And for me personally, there's no finer example of that than we look at the story that you are familiar with, the story found in the book of Genesis. Specific, Genesis 2 and 3, where God made us, and then God gave us a choice. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is very meaningful. That we serve a God so powerful, but he still gives us the power of choice. And so when we read the account in Genesis, we found that God provided for man an opportunity for man to mature. And so a test was provided. And we were not to eat of a particular tree. And God said that if you would eat of this tree, that you would die. And so man had a choice to make. Either follow God or follow his own way. Which choice do you think man made? He followed his own way. And in fact, specifically, reading Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22 and to 24, after man followed his own way, then God had to do something. And I'm intrigued by what he did. For the Bible says, and the Lord God says, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. So he drove man out of the garden and placed at the east garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And as I read that, I needed to look at that again. Because what God did in essence is set a watch. And for those of us who have served in the military, we understand the importance of setting a watch or setting a guard. And so the first watch is found in the scriptures. And so God set an angel there to guard so that Adam and Eve would not be able to get back in the Garden of Eden. And if you do not look at that closely, it appears to be very negative. But as I read on and I read the Hebrew construct of the word drove out was in the context of a groomsman driving out an estranged bride. That was the context of driving out. And when I looked at this closely, it let me know that when God placed the angel and set the watch, that God had tears in his eye. God, you see, that act was an act of mercy and of love. I know it's hard to see that, but it was. And in fact, I believe as God set a watch with the angel and had the flaming sword, which you could see, it was a way that Adam and Eve and his family could come back to the Garden of Eden and look and think about the fact that one day I am going to reestablish my relationship with him. That's good news. Just as the Bible is good news, and it talks about the Word of God being a two-edged sword, that is a blessing. Can you say amen? I'd like to pause just a moment to thank our men and women for setting the watch. I want to thank you for the years that you have given in service for our country. Now, you know that if you've served, there's nothing more important than setting the watch. Or if you have the guard, you are responsible for making sure that everything is all right. And we ask so much of our men and women. It is amazing what we ask them to do. We ask young people right out of high school and right out of college to leave home for months at a time, go to a foreign land, and possibly fight and possibly die. Every man and woman in uniform knows that when they leave home, the possibility exists that they will never see their loved ones again. We ask folk right out of high school and college to make that kind of decision. What a sacrifice they make. I just want to thank you again for what you do. I don't think the average person has a clue. They have no... I told my wife, I had to retire when I retired. I could not have gotten on a ship another time. I couldn't have deployed not one more time. I'm serious. I could not face the fact of leaving my family again. I want to applaud those who have served. You know, in the profession of arms, there is something called the rules of engagement, ROEs. And this goes back to, again, what we're asking our men and women to do. William Prescott, during the Battle of Bunker Hill, is reported to have said, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. And well, I don't know if I want to follow that rule of engagement. But there are times that I do feel that our troops are handcuffed. As they're taught and as they're asked to follow the rules of engagement, and the rules of engagement says that we have the authority to use force, but only as necessary and proportional to the threat. You can't fire on your own fellow soldiers. Soldiers are taught not to fight each other. Now, some do, but they know better. And they ought to protect the objective that they are assigned to protect. And there are a number of other rules of engagement. But what we're asking them to do right now, we're asking 19-year-olds to fight a war against those who have no rules of engagement, who take their fallen comrade and put booby traps inside of them. They smuggle weapons in the ambulances. You know, they have the big red cross on there. They're supposed to be picking up the wounded. When you wave a white flag, you're supposed to be saying, I either want a truce or I want to talk. But you can't even pay attention to a white flag. They're roosts, they're traps, so that our troops can run into IEDs. And the fog of war is getting thicker. Last year, you know, they had private security guards in Iraq, guarding their companies and all of the other kinds of things. They had 20,000 private security guards operating in Iraq last year. All of them had their own rules of engagement. And that's what we're asking our troops to fight in that kind of environment. You don't even have a clue. When our men and women put on a uniform, we're asking them to almost do the impossible. Mission impossible. But that's really not what it's about. I want to show you truly a mission impossible. If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, and I'll just go over that very briefly. This was truly a mission impossible. Over 2,000 years ago, Pilate asked his soldiers to do the impossible. We pick up the story in Matthew chapter 27. and 62, and Jesus had just died on the cross. You know, the Romans probably would have left Jesus there to have the birds and the insects just eat the flesh off of him. That's traditionally how they do it. But Joseph of Arimathea had the nerve, directed by the Holy Spirit, to go ask for Jesus' body. And so that's why Jesus wasn't turned into flesh and bones on the cross. And so he goes to Pilate and asks for the body. And then what you see in verses 62 and on, says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise, and therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And said to the people, he has risen from the dead. And then, if you do that, then the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. And so they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard, setting the watch. Folk, Pilate gave them a mission that was impossible. Pilate agreed, and they stretched ropes across the big stone and put a seal on it. And then they set 100 Roman soldiers to guard it. Now, if you know anything about the Roman army, they were well trained. And in fact, military in general, the worst thing that you can do is not take care of the watch. Is to be sleep on guard duty, or let something happen when you are supposed to be protecting, is the worst thing you can do. And they set 100 trained Roman army troops to guard that tomb. They did everything humanly possible to make sure nothing would happen that would disturb the body of Jesus. But they didn't know, but they had a mission impossible. Because I believe that God will reveal himself to you. When we stand before the King one day, we will have no excuse. God will reveal himself to you. You cannot shut God in. So they put those ropes and they put a seal and they put those 100 troops. And they thought that they had made the tomb a prison and the prison a tomb. Say, well, what does this have to do with me? Good story. What does it have to do with me? I am convinced that the world that we live in will try to shield Jesus out. You can be in all kinds of things, but go and tell somebody that you've just given your heart to Jesus, and they will treat you like you just said, I have leprosy. They will do everything to shield you out. And God will do everything to reveal himself to you. So we try to shield Jesus out. We feel if we have enough money, if we have enough things, we won't need Jesus. But I'm telling you, that is impossible. You will never make enough money where you won't need Jesus. You will never get enough things that you won't need Jesus. It is impossible. So we try to lock ourselves up into being busy. I'll make sure I won't have a chance to think about Him. And so I'll just keep doing and doing and doing. You can be busy as you want to be, but God will reveal Himself to you. You won't escape it. God will reveal Himself to you. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to know Him. And so they sealed the tomb as securely as a person could seal it. 100 soldiers. And guess what happened? God sent His angel. He sent, in fact, He sent His most powerful angel. In fact, the angel was so powerful that when the angel touched the earth, an earthquake happened. And Desire of Ages, page 778, says that when that angel came down and touched that stone rolled away like a pebble. And the 100 trained Roman army troops who had probably fought in many a battle ran like scared rabbits, telling everybody what they had seen. I mean, that doesn't even compute. Not even a fight. They couldn't even tell anybody who they fought. And they ran away. History doesn't record what happened. But I imagine those 100 troops were not only no longer on the payroll, but they probably were killed. They didn't want that story to get out. That 100 trained Roman soldiers ran away from a ghost. We know it was an angel. They didn't want that story to get out. God will reveal Himself to you. You cannot seal God. I hope you get my message. I hope you know what I'm telling you. Impossible. Desire of Ages talks about that event. You know, they said that there were some unseen watchers there. The devil and his angels were right there also. You see, they planned to trap Him there to make sure the resurrection doesn't happen. You know, Jesus, you know, the devil doesn't want you to know about the resurrection. Because there's hope and there's power in the resurrection. Amen? And so the devil and his angels were stationed there, and they did not want Jesus to come out of that tomb. But Jesus' holy angels were there also. One angel cried, "Son of God, come out. Your Father's calling you." And out of that dark tomb steps Jesus. And Desire of Ages said that when He stepped out of the tomb, He said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life." You can't keep God down. You can't keep Him quiet. He will reveal Himself to you. You can't get away from it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And when He says, "I am the resurrection and the life," the angels before His tomb bowed down in adoration to Jesus and welcomed Him with songs and praise. Hallelujah. I'm never going to be embarrassed to say hallelujah in church. Amen. I'm never going to be too big shot to say amen in church. If the angels could get down on their knees and bow to Jesus, you can too. Oh, hallelujah. What a God we serve. He will make Himself known to you. Thank you for His witness. I'll tell you the story. It's not my story, but it's a good one. About Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Him, the Prince of Preachers. I'm sorry I could not have heard him, Dr. Taylor. You know, there are many sermons out by Charles Spurgeon, who was from England. They said that he was the greatest preacher of the 19th century. Lived in London. But the story of his conversion is quite a story. I'm telling you that God will reveal Himself to you. Charles Spurgeon, at 16, was caught in a snowstorm on his way to church. And he never made it to his own church, but he got as far as a little Methodist chapel. And he stopped there just to get out of the elements. In fact, the weather was so bad that the preacher himself didn't make it. There were only 15 in attendance, and so Spurgeon, as a young teenager, sat down and the layman gave the sermon for that Sabbath. It wasn't Sabbath, forgive me. That's my background coming out. So he gave the sermon, and his sermon was Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am the Lord and there is no other. That was his sermon text. And his sermon went something like this. With all of his broken English, the sermon said, look. 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 Look now. It doesn't take a great deal of pain to look. If you ain't lifting your foot or your finger, it is just look. Look. Well, you needn't go to college to learn to look. Even the biggest fool can yet look. A man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. Jesus said, look unto me, for I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I'm hanging on the cross. Look, I am dead and buried. Look, I rise again. Look unto me as I ascend into heaven. Look unto me. I'm sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner, look unto me. Look unto me. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon gave his heart to Jesus over that sermon and became the greatest preacher in the history of our world. And the theme of his preaching, as he preached to thousands, was this: look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. In every sermon that he preached, Christ was his focal point. God will reveal Himself to you. He will make known Himself to you. so that you might be saved. I would be remiss today. I want to say this to our men and women who serve in uniform right now. If ever anyone asks you, to take away somebody's religious freedom, you can know that you have been given a mission impossible. Did you get that? If ever anyone ever asks you to take away somebody's religious freedom, be it known that you have been given a mission impossible. Because God will reveal Himself to each and every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for being the resurrection and the life. The life that we have, the very breath that we take, is because of You. So You reveal Yourself in many ways. But Lord, help us to see You. Open our eyes that we might see Jesus. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I would be remiss. I'm assuming that everybody here is a Christian. But there might be someone here who has not given their heart to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've done that, I'm not asking you to just raise your hand. I'm not asking you to do that to try and make me feel good. I'm saying if you have not looked to Jesus and you have not given Jesus your heart as to be your personal Savior and you would like to say yes to Him, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. If you've already done it, we may all be Christians here. That's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. But if you've not done it, and you want to say yes to Him, I'm asking you, would you look to Him? Anyone here today would fall in that category and want to say yes to Him? Give you that opportunity if you would like to say yes to Him. Would you lift your hands if you fall in that category? Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. You have made Yourself, You've revealed Yourself to each of us here today. Encourage our hearts. Bless us. And encourage us as a nation. Find a way, Lord, to bring an end to the conflict that our men and women must fight in. You can do that, Lord. We believe in You, and we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd like to conclude our service today and let our guests know that we do